It is a blessing to be here. I was sitting there being a bit nostalgic. I think that's the proper word. One of you school teachers can correct me. But 15 years ago, we passed through Barrow, and a different pastor allowed me to preach. I happened to be the father of your present pastor. But I think, if my memory serves me right, and it doesn't serve me well here lately, I believe there was only one person here today, aside from me, that was here then 15 years ago, and I think it was your present pastor. He was a young, very young man at the time, but it's hard to believe 15 years have gone by. I was also sitting there trying to keep my emotions in check. I was thinking about flying off the slope tonight, and after all these years, that's an emotional thing for us. But we'll try and get a handle on that situation. While you're turning to 1 John chapter 4, would you turn, please, in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4? Brother, what time do you guys usually get done? Noon, right? All right, listen. For those of you who have to be home in 2 minutes, I will preach fast, you listen fast, all right? And I will try and shorten this up just a little bit, but not much. 1 John chapter 4. It says in verse 8, he that loveth not, I'm sorry, verse 7, back up. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's pray. Father, we've opened the bread of life and we've read from it. May we now learn from it. Open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Give us ears to hear, hearts to take hold of the truth that we have, that we may live it for your honor and glory. I thank you for this church. The man you've called to lead this flock, his family, your blessing, their lives, and the dear folks we've come to know and love here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church. Give us a sweet time together, fellowshipping around the Word of God. And we will thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I was in high school years ago, am I going to be tied to this thing, brother? Okay. I'll try not to move too much. When I was in high school years ago, freshman kid out of the farm, you know, I'd swam in the ponds and in the rivers. I knew how to swim. It came to gym class, and we had swimming. Went into the pool area there, and they had the low dive and they had the high dive. Some of us guys, we got together, we got to go off the high dive. I had never been off a high dive. I climbed up there, a couple guys behind me, and I looked down and I thought, oh my, what did I do? I looked back. I thought there's three or four guys, you know, on the ladder right behind me, egging me on. I thought, I can't go back. What would they think? So I took a deep breath. Then I jumped. And I went splat. Did a beautiful belly flop. I guess that's what they call it. Oh, that stung for a week. But you know, the point of the matter is before I jumped, I took a deep breath. You know, I thought that's pretty indicative of a lot of things we do in life. My first point tonight for all of you Christians is that you ought to take a deep breath and relax. Take a deep breath and relax. God loves you. You know, we get wound so tight sometimes. We are so busy. Sometimes being about the work of the ministry, sometimes it's just work, sometimes it's life, sometimes it's family. Most of the time it's everything together. We get so busy, we never just take a deep breath and relax. Nor do we ever take a deep breath and think, God loves me. Hey, listen, God loves you. We just read it. God is love, the Bible says. God knows nothing else. He can do nothing else. He is nothing else. He will treat you lovingly. God is love. Take a deep breath and relax. It's part of His very being. We talk about His attributes. One of those attributes is love. Stop and think about that. You know, we tend to get this mental picture of God with a big club ready to zap me every time I do something wrong. That is not true, according to the Bible. God says He'll chasten you because He loves you. Just like a father chastens or spanks his child, God will do that to you, and it doesn't feel good sometimes, but He does it in love. God loves you. Reflect on that for a few minutes. He loves you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. Wow. He died for you, He'll provide for you. He lives for you, He'll give to you. God loves you. Now on that note, and based upon 1 John chapter 4, I want you to think about the second point. Look at verse 10. We've all got verse 7 down pat. God is love. Verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You've heard that. Look at verses 10. Please, herein is love, verse 10, 11. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Listen, God loves you. Take a deep breath and obey. Love one another. Take a deep breath and obey. God commands you. Take a deep breath and first relax. God loves you, but then get on with it. Take a deep breath and obey. God commands you. He commands us to a lot of things in His Word. And He does that because He loves you. You think He does that to make you miserable? Oh, you say, oh, this church stuff. Oh, it gets old after a while. You know, we got all these testimonies, all this singing goes on, and you know, we can't get home in time to watch a football game. Got to get out of here. Hey, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. Church is important. It's important that you hear folks sing and testify and you fellowship with them. Take a deep breath and obey. God commands you. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you are lost and dying and on your way to a place the Bible calls hell, a Christless eternity. You know what I believe the worst thing about that is? There is no love there because God is not there. You know, it's not the presence of the devil or demons or other lost people that's going to be so frightening. I don't think it's the fire. I don't think it's the darkness and the torment. I don't believe that's the worst part of hell. I believe the worst part of hell is the fact that God is not there. There is no love there and all that it means. Some of you sit here and you know not the love of God because you've never trusted Jesus Christ, His Son, as your Savior. The Bible says you must be born again. Take a deep breath and trust Him. Take a deep breath and believe in Him. Take a deep breath. Why would you want to die and go to hell? I'm reminded of the little girl in Sunday school class. One of my friends sent me this. I think it was just last week. The teacher was teaching on whales. Probably familiar. Must come from the North Slope. A little girl pipes up. I think she's about 7, 8 years old. She says, you know, Jonah, he was in the belly of a whale, the Bible says. The teacher says, honey, it's impossible for a whale to swallow a man. His throat is just not big enough to do that. Little girl says, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. The teacher says, well, what if Jonah died and went to hell? Little girl says, well, then you ask him. Hey, folks. Take a deep breath and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. God loves you. He doesn't want anyone to die and go to hell. For it's not God's will that any man should perish, or woman. It's not God's will, folks. He loves you. Take a deep breath and obey. You know, some of you are sitting here this morning. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You know for sure if you died that heaven is your home. Eternity awaits you. You've had your sins forgiven. Praise God. I thank you for it. But you sit here and you've never scripturally been baptized. Take a deep breath and come talk to this man about being baptized. Romans chapter 6. Check it out. Acts chapter, 9? Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I think it's chapter 9. Check it out. Study it out. Don't just take my word for it. Look in the scriptures. Take a deep breath. Obey God. Follow His commandments. Because God commands you to be baptized. Baptism is nothing more than a picture of what took place in you spiritually the day God saved you, the day Christ saved you. You died spiritually with Him on the cross. You were buried spiritually with Him, as the picture of you going underwater. And you were resurrected spiritually with Him the day He was resurrected from the tomb. It's a picture of what took place. And it's just a testimony to the whole world that you are a Christian. Take a deep breath, follow His commandments, and get baptized. It's a big deal. It's a little water. This time of year, it's a big deal if you go outside, but it's just a little water. They've got a baptistry here. Take a deep breath and obey. Take a deep breath and tithe. God commands you. You say, oh, wait a minute, this tithing thing, I can't afford to do that. The old cliche is you can't afford not to do that. You read Malachi chapter 3. You want to turn there a minute? Let's talk money. I preached this message a few weeks ago. Maybe it was just a week or so ago in Barrow. Listen, folks, I'm sorry. In Wainwright, I preached it a couple weeks ago. I never talk about money. Don't have to. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Teacher has been coming for 8 years. It's hard to believe. And I was telling the folks, you know, I hardly ever talk about money. She said twice in 8 years. Twice on Sunday morning in 8 years. I've talked about tithing. I said, well, thanks for keeping track. But you know, we've never missed any bills in Wainwright. We've never gone hungry. God provides. God takes care of His kids who obey His commandments. Look at Malachi chapter 3. You say this is Old Testament. That's right. The principles there. Look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? The prophet says, will you rob from God? And the people say, or actually, in their minds, they say, who do that? No. Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Look at the result of taking tithes and offerings from God. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. The principle is there. Given it shall be given unto you, the New Testament says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Giving is a biblical principle, folks. Listen, if you can't tithe, give something. Now, I know this church has never lacked. I know that. But take a deep breath and obey. God commands you. I am convinced, based upon what I study in the Scriptures, that God's blessing is directly proportional to your obedience. Everybody wants God to bless them. If I asked you, if I took a poll, if I sent out a letter, you'd all write, yes, I want God's blessing. You'd all answer that question, yes. Obey Him. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, God said to Joshua, and in principle to all of us. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. All that is written therein. What happens? For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's when the blessing comes, when you observe the commandments of God and you obey them, God blesses you. Take a deep breath and obey God's commandments. Take a deep breath and serve. And somebody once commented, how many people in your church serve the Lord? Well, in what way? You know, minister in the church somehow. Oh, about 10%. That's a fairly common figure. You got 100, you've got 10. Some of you are not involved in the ministry. Hey, go for it. Look at the back of the bulletin today. I just noticed that. Please remember to pray for Calvary Bible Baptist Church Ministries, Bible Institute, Church Cleaners, Just Ball, Just Club, Nursery, Prayer Chain, Radio Broadcast, Worship Team, Web Page, CD Ministry, Van Ministry, and I'm sure there's more. Need something to do? Don't know what to do? Ask them. I'll bet your pastor can find something for you to do. Service is a biblical ministry. Just take a deep breath and say, I'll do it. David did. Stood on a mountain and listened to Goliath issue a challenge to the armies of God. Who knows how many hundreds of men were lined up there. And David, this little boy, comes along, and for 40 days and 40 nights, I think Goliath had come out there and said, send me a man. Send me one man to do battle with me. If I kill him, you serve us. If he kills me, we'll serve you. David hears that. And I think he looked to his right, and nobody moved. And he looked to his left, and nobody moved. And he said, I'll go. I bet he went, took a deep breath before he said it. He said, I'll go. Hey, Moses did. God says, go lead my people out of Egypt. Moses said, God, I can't. Moses had a long list of excuses. No, not me, not me, not me. God said, go. Finally, Moses just took a deep breath and did it. Joshua did. You can do it too. You can do it. Hey, listen, folks. If I can serve God, you can serve God. I remember when God called me to preach. My wife's laughing. You know what my favorite verse is? Or what my favorite verse was for a long time? But Jeremiah 1:8. You know what it says? It says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. That's my favorite verse. I couldn't preach my bag out of I couldn't preach my way out of a wet paper bag. Some of you know that. I'm reverting too. Take a deep breath and obey God's commandments. You will never regret serving the Lord. Never. Never, never, never. Especially when testimonies come somewhere down the road that says, why are you like you are? That man over there, Ron Boyd, what happened to you? This man led me to the Lord. This Sunday school teacher did this. This church worker did this. This Christian did this. Told me about this. their example encouraged me. Serve God. You won't regret it. Just take a deep breath and obey. God commands you. You want to be great, the old songwriter wrote in God's kingdom? Learn to be the servant of all. It's a biblical principle. Jesus said he'd come to serve, not to be served. Finally, let me say this. And turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, there's the parable there of the man who left some talents with his servants. And he comes and goes and finds some faithful and some not. But to the ones he finds faithful, the ones who have done service for God, the ones who have been good stewards of his finances, he says to them in verse 21, his Lord saith unto him, that's the faithful servant, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Take a deep breath and enjoy. God will bless you. Take a deep breath and enjoy. God will bless you. There's nothing like hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Some of us won't hear it till we get to the gates. Some of us just hope we'll hear it when we get to the gates. Some of us may not hear it when we get to the pearly gates. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, or afternoon, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, assuredly, as the commands of this book, you're on your way to heaven. God promises you an eternal home in heaven. These things are written, it says in 1 John chapter 5, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the day you die, you will go to heaven. But what you hear when you get there is up to you. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Serve them. Be faithful. Now listen, let me just say this. Don't heap your plate so full you can't keep all your commitments. God doesn't call everybody to preach. God doesn't call everybody to teach. God doesn't call everybody to be everything to every man and woman in the church. But just find something to do that you're gifted at and just do it. If that's what God's called you to do, that's all you'll be judged for. See? Well done, thou good and faithful servant, does not hinge on what you do. It just hinges on whether or not you obey and do it. And it doesn't matter to God. All that is required among stewards is that a man be found faithful. If God gives you the bulletin ministry, just do it. You know, Nike's got nothing on the Bible. Just do it. Isn't it Nike? It says just do it. That's biblical, folks. If God gives you a ministry, just ball, just do it. That's all you'll be required of when you get to the judgment seat to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I want to hear. So, take a deep breath. You know, you do it all the time. You go to work, the boss gives you something to do, and you take a deep breath and say, okay. You know, you go to church, and the pastor comes to you and says, can you bake cookies for the church social next week? And some of you wives have enough to do. And you go, okay. Just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath and do it. Just take a deep breath and relax. God loves you. Just take a deep breath and obey. God commands you. Just take a deep breath and enjoy. God will bless you. Listen, you might be here this morning and you're sitting there thinking, preacher, I don't understand a thing you're talking about. There's a good reason for that. It's probably because you're not a Christian. But you can become one. Don't leave this place without trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Find someone here you trust, be it the pastor, be it one of your friends, someone you know is a Christian, and say, can you show me in the Bible how I can be saved, how I can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Find someone you know and become a Christian. God loves you. He wants to spend all eternity with you. You say, nobody's ever loved me. God loves you. He'll take good care of you. I promise you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I promise you, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're disappointed in 5, 10 years, you come and find me. And then we'll talk. You can punch me if you want to. I don't care. No, try him. You'll like him. Just take a deep breath and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this church, the opportunity to open the Word of God and proclaim the truth of the Word of God. As it was mentioned earlier, the truth, it's the truth that sets us free. It makes us free, the Bible says. May hearts and lives be made free. Free to be saved. May folks just trust Jesus Christ this morning. Free to serve, whatever be the case. Free to obey. And eventually free to enjoy your blessings. We commit these folks to you and we thank you for them. For we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother?
Man, that was a blessing. Well, we could have a song of invitation. We could sing 6, 7, 8, 9 verses. Invite you to come. Be saved. We could drag you out of your seat, get you down here, pray with you until you finally trust Christ, but we're not going to do that. That's not what God wants us to do. If you're ready to trust Christ, if you're here and you're lost, you're unsaved, you don't know for sure where you're going when you die, why don't you just trust Christ? Amen. What's keeping you? What is stopping you from receiving Christ? It's not worth it. It's not worth dying and going to hell over. Whatever it is. Why don't you just come to Christ today, this morning. Get it settled. Trust Christ today. We're not going to have an invitation. We're not going to sing any verses, sing any songs. We're just going to pray. When I'm done praying, I'll be right down over here. If you're serious about trusting Christ as your Savior, if you're serious about being born again, like the Bible says, Jesus said, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. If you're interested in knowing more about how you can be born again, I'll be right down here waiting for you to come talk to me. Please come. God loves you. God died for you. Why don't you receive Christ today? Dear Lord God, thank you for the message. Lord, what a simple but powerful message. We needed that. And Lord, I pray that us Christians, Lord, would do what's been preached, would hearken, would heed what's been preached, Lord, and take a deep breath. Just obey, knowing that you love us, and knowing that if we obey, you'll bless us. The greatest life is not a life lived for riches, for pleasure, for power. Greatest life lived is a life lived for Christ, for others. Lord, help us to realize that. Lord, as we're busy doing things and just getting caught up in everyday life, Lord, help us to remember that you love us. Help us to remember why we're here. That you want us, Lord, to be involved, to do something, Lord, something worthwhile. You have a purpose, you have a plan, And Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us and all that you've done for this church. And I pray, God, as Brother Carlson and his family leave the North Slope, Lord, that, Lord, you would guide them and direct them, and Lord, that your hand would be with them. And Lord, as they take a deep breath and they take a step by faith, Lord, into the unknown, the uncertain, God, I pray that you'd, Lord, just bless them every step of the way. And Lord, take care of them. Thank you for their testimony and their faithfulness, Lord, their example to us all. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed this morning.